Canes fans, I got to tell you about our great new sponsor. Listen, we all love placing a bet here and there, right? But is there anything sweeter than winning a bet when it's against your friends? Against the people you know, you get one up on them? Man, and the thing about it is you can bet with your friends on anything. You can bet with them on the Oscars, on sports, whatever it is. And that's what our new sponsor allows you to do. Let me tell you about Kutt. That's K-U-T-T, Kutt. The Kutt app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform. It's legal in 40-plus states. Kutt has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo or anything like that. Listen, you can bet on anything on Kutt. You want to bet your friend that the two of you are going to have a 40-yard... Wait a minute. That's not something I would ever do. But you could do it on Kutt. That's right. Listen, log on to Kutt right now and use our promo code BELIEVEMIAMI. That's B-L-E-A-V Miami for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code. It's BELIEVEMIAMI. B-L-E-A-V Miami. Do it now. Get on there. Get on to Kutt. And bet your friends about anything. It's a blast. What's up, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Real Ones Canes podcast. He is Brandon O'Doy. Follow him on all the socials at Brandon_O'Doy. I'm the Beast Brian London. Hey, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts. Apple, Amazon, Spotify, all those places and more. We are everywhere you get podcasts. We got a lot to get to on this week's episode. Brandon, I believe in transparency, so I'm going to let the audience know that we are recording this Thursday night, March 21st. It's just before 7 p.m. The rest of the world is watching a bunch of college basketball, but we got college football to dig into because it is spring practice time. Coming up in a bit, second segment of the episode, we have to talk about Katie Meyer and her retirement real quick. And also, we got some ACC, NCAA lawsuit situations we'll get to as well. But let's focus on the Miami Hurricanes. Brandon, you always have your ear to the grindstone. They're back from a spring break, working out, practicing. I believe today, Thursday, they were in shells, and then they'll get into, or full pads, I should say. Then they'll be getting into scrimmages down the road and all that stuff. So things are progressing here in spring. And, you know, just listening to Mario talk about things are going well. Some guys are coming back from injury. There's some guys that are still out from injury. But, you know, we continue to kind of focus a little bit on the quarterback situation in Cam Ward, and Mario again addressed yesterday, Wednesday, Cam's fumbling situation. You know, so he says they're working with Cam on the fumbling situation. That was something that Mario addressed. And I think that, you know, when people think about Cam Ward, that's kind of the one hole they talk about in his game. So I'm glad they're working on it with him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're going to nitpick and say a guy fumbles and he's as dynamic as Cam Ward has been, you know, that's just something that we'll kind of live with, because we've had guys that, you know, the criticisms are far more broad as far as it relates to their quarterback play. And let me just say this, Beast, you know, it's my first time getting a chance to see things, you know, up close and personal. And Cam Ward is worth the excitement. And I talked to a few people down there who, you know, I'll continue to remain, you know, confidential with, but they're excited, you know what I mean, about what this young man can do. And it's evident when you see it in person. And I think the thing that I took away from today's practice was the other guys that were good high school players that are developing and becoming better. And that's what you want. And it's one of those situations where, you know, everybody's kind of gun shy about being like really high on this team, but you can tell people are like yeah, this might be a special year. I mean, and that's kind of what you get from being down at practice and being around this program.
You know, and I get that vibe. I haven't been down there yet, but I've talked to a bunch of people, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that people understand the level that the most important player in the sport, or the most important position in the sport, is quarterback. When you have a player at a very high level at that position, it makes you feel better about everything. Because yeah, it all starts there. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we talked about that a lot, you know, on this podcast. And, you know, this is a quarterback first business, college football. And that's why the transfer portal started. Because people who didn't have quality quarterback play had to try to figure out how to get it as soon as possible. But let's go back to the genesis of the portal. Remember, it started off with the grad transfers, right? And because quarterbacking was so, elite quarterbacking was so limited that college football, you know, because the elites make all the rules. And by that, I mean the blue bloods, the Michigans, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Georgias, you know what I mean? Like they start, you know, influencing through either their coaches, media, SEC, you know, their little pundits and talking heads. They spill the beans, you know, give them scoops, influence them, and then they start getting on their podcasts and shows and start putting that stuff in the atmosphere, not realizing they're being used. But then it starts to you know, kind of shift everything to a certain way of looking at the game. And then all of a sudden you start seeing rule changes. So the first rule change that was poor quarterback was allowing grad transfers to go everywhere. And then it used to be, well, I should be able to play at other schools because they don't have something I'm trying to major in as a grad student. And so you just pick, you know, oh, they don't have needling 105. So I need to be able to transfer from this school to this school just so I can major in needling. Like, come on, give me a break. You're not going there to get a graduate degree. So that ultimately, that formula and everything turned into what we now know as the transfer portal. But when that started, Beast, the guy who was moving the most was the quarterback, the Russell Wilsons, you know, who went from Wisconsin to North Carolina State.
NC State to Wisconsin.
Yeah. So that type of thing. That's where all of this started. That was the genesis of this. And so that was when college football began to be quarterback centric. And like I said, the quarterbacks at this university have been relatively anonymous going back years. I mean, you have to go back to Dorsey before there was a guy that was universally known and respected throughout all of college football, not just for the University of Miami locally or whatever, guys that were talked about. You know what I mean? The Jim Kellys, the, you know what I mean? The Dorseys, the, you know, the Geno
Toretto's. Bernie Kosar, Vinny Testa. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, that's kind of the feeling like, okay, we have a guy that can be talked about nationally. And listen, he was well compensated, well taken care of by most accounts. And it looks like he's going to validate that. But I'm going to tell you, man, I met Mr. Reese, a good friend coming down from Albany. And I like the way he looked today. You know what I mean? And I said, wow, you're a very impressive looking guy. And at the end of the day, I can't tell you where I met him at and what he was doing when I met him, but let's just say there's competitive depth throughout that entire roster, you know? And I'm saying, I just had the pleasure of being with Sonoris Moss today. His son is taking my college tour. So we were down at the University of Miami together today, and he was having a conversation with, you know, another person who, you know, was on the staff, and he was like, yeah, back in my day, you know, you had 3-4 guys at one position, and you were scared not to make plays because the other guy would get in, and he started making plays, and you wouldn't get back in, and that's kind of the feeling at a few positions, you know, lately. So a lot of buzz down there today. I mean, I don't want to be we going to the natty type guy, but a lot of positive buzz, Beast. I'm going to put it at that.
One of those positions that always has a bunch of competition. It's no different now. And it brings us to one of the news stories of the week. Henry Parrish, the running back, is going to hit the transfer portal when it opens here in a couple of weeks. He's no longer on the team, no longer on the roster. Mario said, hey, it's good for him. It's good for us. And this is kind of the cost of doing business. But Henry Parrish was a good soldier over the last couple of years. But that running back position is deep.
Yeah, it's really deep. And imagine losing a guy like Henry Parrish and it not even being that big of a deal. And that's where we are in Miami right now. I ran into Mark Fletcher's father. You know, he's been a friend of mine for many years since Mark was in sixth grade. You know, we exchanged, we talked. He's, you know, very positive, very upbeat about the program. CJ, Chris Johnson had a really good practice, very explosive, very fast. I think you saw a few tweets about that. There's an incredible amount of depth. And Jordan Lyle isn't even there, the four-star All-American. He's not even there yet, Beast. I mean, you're talking about Mark Fletcher. You're talking about Allen. You're talking about Chris Wheatley Humphrey. You're talking about CJ. You're talking about
Trevante Citizen,
who's coming back from injury. Like, the room was crowded. I don't blame Parrish. Thank him for everything that he did for this university. He's probably going back to his coach, back to the SEC, back to where he's going to get the bulk of the carries. And who can blame him? Thank you for what you did for the University of Miami.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and we wish you nothing but the best. But, I mean, that room, there's no fall off in there. You know what I mean? And that's where they are at quarterback and running back. Like, there's no fall off. It's getting their receiver. Like, I mean, and the only reason I'm not giving receiver that love is because you got to have guys that do that in games. You know, Restrepo is Restrepo. He had another great practice today. You know what I mean? Isaiah Horton is stepping up. Like, the reports of Horton stepping up, they're valid. I saw it today. And, you know, he's a big guy, speedy guy. You got Josiah Trader, you know, who was good to see down there today. Ray Ray looks really good. The news flash of the season is Ray Ray is going to – my prediction is that he is going to be a game changer because it's a situation where – you know, sometimes X comes off. It's very rare when there's a little bit of fall off on that second line. Those days are over. You know, those first two lines of receivers can get it done. I'm thinking eight deep. And guys not making plays and guys not doing what they should be doing, guys making mental errors, they won't play much. There's going to be trust with a lot of guys.
The thing I see about the receiver position is I see the numbers building up. And the depth building up, it's just a matter of those guys proving that they can handle the spotlight.
Yeah. More. And that's why I said what I said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the thing is, we know we can count on X. We know we can count on Jacoby. And then that's kind of where it stops. You know what I mean? Because, you know, everybody else is not tried and true. Because Colby Young left, right? Ray Ray played very sparingly. You know what I mean? And, you know, some of the other guys, you know, are still getting their feet wet. It wouldn't shock me if they went and got a veteran. And Horton hasn't played a whole lot. He's played some, but a whole lot. So there's a lot of unproven ability there, but there's a lot to like. So, you know, that's a position to watch, but I'd rather bet on it than bet against it. You know what I mean? We talked about the offensive line. We are giving Mario Cristobal and this Hurricane staff the benefit of the doubt. They've done it too many times at too many places. The D-line, I think, will be fine. The backing core, which you had concerns about, which I was kind of curious about, but now I understand where you're coming from because it's really the depth. It's not the starters.
Right.
The starters are fine. The depth is unproven. It's kind of like receiver. You know what I mean? You got two or three guys you can count on, and then, like, it's like, okay, what if something happens? And so I understand you on that. The big concern is the back end. The big concern is the back end. There's not enough depth. They're going to have to go get something in the portal. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that about the back end since spring got started, since the season ended.
It's one thing, and I don't want to cut you off, but it's one thing to say that, and then it's one thing to go down there and be like, yeah, the back end, Yes, Portal. ASAP. Yikes. Daryl Porter Jr., good to go. But, you know, and you got Devontae Brown. So you like where you are on both edges. But what if they need a breather? And who's going to play the – don't forget what I said. Who's going to play the Tecori Couch spot? And then you got to – you replace two safeties and you got some season. So, you know, you have the young man from Washington. He'll probably occupy one of those. But I think there are two positions you got to go get a guy for.
And again, you need depth at those positions because you never just use one or two guys. You know, it's, you know, some of the, especially the way teams are passing nowadays, those guys need a blow. They need to come off. You need to put guys in that you're not going to, you know, you're not going to be worried about in coverage. You just can't have that issue. Brendan, some other news today was linebackers coach Derek Nicholson got promoted to co-defensive coordinator. Really good to see that man get his due and be able to help out Guidry there. But, you know, that's a guy that probably deserved that kind of a bump.
Yeah, he came in, you know, not as heralded as other coaches and, you know, was a part of a really good defense. And you do things like that to keep a coach around. There's probably some people sniffing around and getting that co-title kind of helps you out with like your future. And then it also bumps your pay up a little bit. So well-deserved. And you want to try to keep this defensive unit together because you got a lot of talent there. You got Joe Savea, you got, you know, Jason Taylor up front, and you're coming back with D. Nick and Guidry on the back end outside of the box. And then, and now you bring in Coach Chevis Jackson, who I had a chance to meet earlier today. So you want to keep some continuity because of it kind of moving parts there. And so if they can continue to do that, and you'd like to think that, okay, they've all been together a year, and then you bring in Jackson, who's been there with Guidry in the past, you'd like to think that there's like no issues, you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's a very, you know, thing that has to watch, but they're going to have to coach on that back end. I can't stress that enough. So Chevis Jackson, welcome to Miami. But you're going to have your hands full, and we will, you know what you'll probably see? You'll probably see him go grab a guy that he's high on at Marshall, get him to come to Miami and put him into something. And I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know Marshall's roster that fast, but when you have a dire need, it's kind of like how KJ Cloud ended up here with D. Nick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's a guy I can go grab? And now the question is, do they have to rely on that? Or are they going to go be able to get somebody better because of Miami's NIL abilities and then just the brand name University of Miami? So a lot to look forward there. But I will be closely watching the DB procurement, so to speak, in the spring. But a lot to like overall. Good energy at practice. People looked like they were having fun. And, you know, mainly the coaches. I see the difference in the faces, you know. But it's a springtime. Spring, hope springs eternal.
Yep, that's for sure. Literally. So yesterday, Mario talked about the portal a little bit. I think Susan asked him about it. And he said, listen, we got to get to 85. I think they're 7 over right now. They have to be at 85 by the time fall camps opens in August. That's the rule. And there's still going to be more movement, right? There's going to be guys that leave, and there's going to be guys that come in. Besides that back end on the defense, any other positions you think you just have to get in the portal, or are you just looking for, you know, almost like the NFL draft, best talent available on the board?
No, you can't do best talent available. You got to go get pieces. If there's a tight end out there, it wouldn't shock me, especially one with size. The Lofton kid looks really sharp based on what we see on Twitter and everything like that. He can, you know, stretch the field and create mismatches, but he's H-backish, you know, almost like another slottish type of guy. He's not very big. And so you want to see a bigger guy. Arroyo had a decent practice today.
My boy.
Your boy looked good. But at the end of the day, it wouldn't surprise me on a tight end. It wouldn't surprise me on another D tackle. not so much a pass rusher, but a true three technique. It definitely wouldn't surprise me at safety or corner. You have to get a corner or a slot guy. And a veteran linebacker to add depth wouldn't surprise me at all either.
And, you know, it's tough wrapping your mind around the fact that there's guys that are busting their butt right now that'll leave and go somewhere else. And there's guys that are on another team working their spring practice that'll be here in a couple of weeks. It's so weird with these different portal windows and all of that stuff. It'll be interesting to see what the NCAA does on this eventually, or what happens if they keep the windows the same dates or not. And because it really, man, it's like Miami's not even giving out a spring roster because things can change in a heartbeat. And they just talked about, listen, the guys.
That's so weird, by the way. It's kind of, you're trying to watch and then you're like, who's here? You know, you don't know. You don't know who's making the plays. You don't know what's happening. So that's kind of a thing. So, but at the end of the day, yeah, man, lots to look forward to. There's some excitement down there.
All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we got to get into two issues. One, the great Katie Meyer, who has been at the helm of the University of Miami women's basketball program for 19 years. Sad. She is retiring. And then we got to get into the big picture of the NCAA and the ACC and Clemson and Florida State kind of leading the way in this battle. And where's the University of Miami? Dan Radakovich was on the radio talking about that. We'll get into that and more on the other side. It's the Real Ones Canes podcast. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Real Ones Canes podcast. I'm the Beast Brian London. He is Brandon O'Doy. Please go subscribe to the podcast wherever you get the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are building. And also, do us a favor. If you want to go check out the best sports betting app, it is Cut. Follow them on X at Cut, K-U-T-T, bet, at Cut, B-E-T, that's Cut Bet, and use code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, Miami. You can bet on anything. Bet your friends on, you know, how many chicken wings you can eat. You can do that on the Cut Sports Betting app. Brandon, big news actually broke less than 12 hours ago when we're recording this podcast. News came down that the great, legendary Katie Meyer, who has been at the helm of the University of Miami women's basketball program for 19 years, she's actually the winningest basketball coach of any men's or women's program in University of Miami basketball history. Katie Meyer is retiring. We are recording this Thursday night. They'll be having a press conference tomorrow. That's Friday morning. But she did amazing things. Just a couple of stats for you. So 19 years, right? 362 career victories. Led the Canes to 11 20-win seasons, 10 NCAA tournament berths, and, of course, Miami's first ever trip to the Elite Eight. She was the Associated Press National Coach of the Year 1 year in 2011. In 2013, she was the USA Basketball National Coach of the Year. Just did an amazing job with the University of Miami women's program, and she will be missed for sure.
Yeah, she'll be missed big time. The first year I started covering the Canes, 11, we were on Cane Insider, I believe, together at some point. She was the National Coach of the Year. So my impression of her has always been big. She's done more with less almost consistently over the time. And she's really heady, a very intelligent coach. And that run last year was really special, especially in the ACC tournament. What they did, were able to pull off, was really big. She took a big hit with some losses, you know, on the roster this year. They were kind of a bubble team, left off, you know, the NCAA tournament roster this year, which kind of stung. But, I think when Miami was investing in basketball, women's basketball, that is, and, you know, she was given the tools to succeed, she did so. And I think that she realizes this game has changed. You look at Don Staley, you look at, you know, Kim Mulkey and all of the people who are having success. It's more of the people who've been able to embrace the NIL and the way, you know, women's college basketball is kind of moving. You know, you got somebody like Caitlin Clark at Iowa who's making over $1 million. you know, as a women's college basketball player. And so this is not Maya's generation. And I'd hate to sweep her into the Saban talk and into all of these people who are kind of stepping down and moving on. But, you know, you've been in the game so long and you used to a different way of doing things and now things are different. I think that, you know, at some point you can look at yourself and say, you know what, winning this coach here ever, done my thing 20 years, got my retirement, I'm going to call it a day. And so you'd love to see her stay a little bit longer. She's a big loss. And women's college basketball is a big deal nowadays.
Huge.
And so this is going to be in attention Dan Radakovich. You're going to be judged by this one.
Right?
Yep. 10 years ago, women's basketball coach, you know, pick somebody who was already here. You know, no, you got to be careful. This is a sport that is growing by leaps and bounds. I'm more excited for the women's tournament than I am the men's. I haven't watched a second of the men's tournament. Don't plan on it. Maybe Northwestern playing FAU, which is my alma mater, but and the local team. But outside of that, man, I have no plans to watch until the Final Four. And I'm telling you, this women's game is where things are. And Mr. Radakovich, I say this respectfully, do your research. You got some big, I mean, there's a lot of attention that you could garner for your school if you pick the right coach and you start getting a super dynamic program. I'm not saying Katie Meyer didn't. I'm just saying she dealt with the old model of how UM women's basketball is handled. When you gave her a team in the new model, she took it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, for sure.
When you gave her NIL girls, and when you invested and put that work in, and then you saw it on both sides this year. Coach L, you took away all of the guys. You took away the studs. I mean, these guys are good coaches, but they're not like great, great recruiters. They're good recruiters, but they're not new school like great, great recruiters. They don't do the NIL space like that, and I think that's fair to say. And so if you gave them tools, they could do it, but you need to get somebody that's kind of well-versed in those areas.
For sure, the game is changing. And I'll tell you right now, I watched way more women's college hoops this year than I did men's. A lot of it, you know, had to do with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and just big, big names that, you know, that were back from last year. And a lot of it just had to do with the way the game has gotten better. On the women's side, I watched a lot more this year and started to know more about the personalities on that side of things. But University of Miami only had two women's basketball coaches in 36 years. Fern Labadie was there, and then Katie Meyer. Fern Labadie took Miami to the NCAA tournament 6 times. Katie Meyer did it 10 times. And it's been up and down for the program over the course of a few decades. But you're right. This is a big hire because of the NIL stuff, because of the attention on women's basketball. This is by no means an easy decision for Dan Radakovich. So interested to see what they do. Just I'm going to throw one name out there because I'm loyal to someone that I've known for a long time. Octavia Blue, former UM player, is now the head coach at Kennesaw State. I don't know if she'll get a look or not. I haven't followed her career at Kennesaw State, but I love Octavia. So I'll just throw that name out there. There's some other big names.
I'm going to give you a name.
Okay.
Played for Meyer, one of Meyer's better players, WNBA, Shanice Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that's younger, right.
Younger player, very talented. Now, I don't know how she is as a coach, but you're going to need someone. I think it is time for an African-American woman. Yep. You're going to need someone who not only understands Miami, who understands young people, who has pedigree, and, you know, who understands the culture, you know what I mean? And I think she's somebody that should be on the short list here. And it wouldn't surprise me if Meyer named her successor or kind of said, hey, it's your time. Because if I'm not mistaken, she's on the staff. But at the end of the day, that's kind of the line of people that you would probably think about, Beast, as far as like somebody to, you know, kind of, you know, feel those very big shoes, you know, that, you know, Coach Meyer is leaving.
Yeah, Shanice Johnson, I believe, was hired a couple of years ago after she left the WNBA to join the UM coaching staff. Momo, as we know, Shanice, back in the day. So, yeah, that could be a look as well. The other big story, Dan Radakovich was asked on the AM radio about Clemson, who sued the ACC. The ACC is countersuing, so Florida and State and Clemson have both sued to try to get out of their deals with the ACC, the whole grant the rights thing, which no one can see unless you go to the ACC offices. The ACC, man, they had some bad leadership because they signed a deal that is just, it's going to be really hard to get out of. Now, I'm sure Miami has sent lawyers up to go look at the grant of rights. I'm sure they're doing their due diligence, but I'm not sure how Dan Radakovich has kind of publicly addressed this. Kind of leaves me feeling positive about the situation. I guess as an alum, I kind of would like to see Miami leading in this area rather than following. Right now, Dan says, hey, we're not planning on doing anything. We're aligned with the ACC, that sort of thing. We'll see what happens with Florida State and Clemson. And I understand you have public posturing and then behind the scenes moving, but I just would kind of like to see the University of Miami be ahead of the game and not get left behind. I have that fear that it's like, man, I woke up one day and there was no more Pac-12, one of the most historical conferences in all of college athletics, right? It was gone in the blink of an eye. And I don't want to wake up some morning and the ACC is somehow falling apart and the University of Miami is stuck sitting there with their hands in their pockets.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear about that and the leadership who got into this big deal. I mean, you can look at it one or two ways. You can say they're brilliant for keeping the conference together because I can guarantee if they were not in such a ridiculous deal or a tightly, you know, a long-standing deal, I don't think the ACC would be what it is right now. I think Florida State would be gone. I think Clemson would be gone. I think North Carolina would be gone. I'm pretty sure Miami would, you know, be trying to move on. And if they were not in that deal, you know, you can call it good or bad, depending on who, you know, from whose viewpoint, you know, you're looking at it. But I think if it wasn't for that long-standing deal, I don't think there would be an ACC right now, or it wouldn't exist as we know it. Because with the things changing in the landscapes and all the college football reorganizing, ACC teams were sought after. I know Clemson was sought after. I know FSU had, you know, wandering eyes. And, you know, at the end of the day, if they didn't have these legal parameters to deal with, I think they would be gone. And once you lose Clemson and Florida State, what do you have left to keep the conference together?
Yeah, I mean, it would basically, at that point, it would become basketball-centric, right? And then if Duke or North Carolina decides to go, there goes that aspect of it too. So there's really like four schools, right? Florida State and Clemson on the football side, and then North Carolina, Duke on the basketball side that hold the ACC together.
Well, the thing is, what always kind of held the ACC together, they had this sort of like academic thing. You know what I mean? And that's why, you know, they kind of deal with some people and don't deal with other people. Like SMU and Cal and Stanford are like major examples of that. They're not really football brand type school. They don't help you in any way as far as like football is concerned. SMU won the AAC. So yeah, okay, they're a decent school as far as like where Rhett Lashley is taking them. We know him well, former University of Miami offensive coordinator. But you don't gain a lot in blue bloodship. You know, the Big Ten had a freaking Washington, you know what I mean? And UCLA, USC, like the brand names that they got were just far better. You know, and Washington just played for a national championship. Yeah, I know, you know, it's no longer the same with Coach DeBoer leaving for Bama and Jeff Fish coming in and things of that nature. But, you know, you're talking about picking up Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA. These are blue blood NCAA programs, college football programs, and the ACC added Stanford, which may be worse than Vanderbilt, and SMU and Cal. You understand what I'm saying? Now, academically, those are amazing gets for the ACC. But, you know, when they're talking about the money that they're giving out in these other conferences for the deals that they've signed, It's only going to take 5 years for the ACC programs to be significantly behind the SEC and the Big Ten. That's what this is about. When you can outspend your guy at a 2-to-1 rate, he can't keep up with you. And that's how Nick Saban, Alabama, and the SEC, and Greg Sankey, and those guys, they won college football stardom and the primary seat at the table. They won it in the boardroom. They didn't win it on the football field. They won it in the boardroom.
Yeah, it's wow. It's just so much to ponder. And, you know, Miami hired Dan Radakovich because he had the experience at Clemson and at Georgia Tech. You know, he's been in those big boy meetings. So hopefully that pans out for them with all of this. And again, it's another wait to see as there will be looming decisions to be made at some point, because all of this is changing within a matter of hours, depending on what's going on. So we will see. All right. Next week, we will regather. I hope our friend Liam will join us and maybe talk about what's happening on the men's college, on the men's side for the University of Miami, because I don't think there's anyone left. Will the last men's college basketball player at the University of Miami shut the light out? Because I don't know who's left. We'll see. But we got to cover that next week. More spring practice, all this stuff. We will do it next time. Brendan, thank you, my friend. It is the Real Ones Kids podcast. We'll see you next time. Peace.